Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to Monday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend, and hey, it's a short week this week because Thanksgiving is literally on Thursday. So hopefully you're ready for the 3 days of work or school you may have and ready to enjoy some good food with your family. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my Steam listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you happen to be following along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. And remember, if you can't catch us live or available on iTunes, you can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything under podcast, download the shows for free, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars while you're there, and write a little review. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear and see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Also, don't forget to like our Facebook page. Like, we really need the likes. Facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you'll find more show links, news and updates, and, you know, things that we hope to get, like, poll topics and questions, and so we can get dialogue going so people will help us form show topics and eventually get the podcast back to where we really would like it to be. Okay, so Survivor Series was last night, the 29th edition of Survivor Series. I've only been watching for about 2 hours. Kind of puts it in rare terms, but 28 of them I can remember. And this one had the potential to either be one of the best or one of the worst. Definitely more from column B than from column A, so to speak. Really awkward to think that, you know, they're just, you know, going to throw Roman Reigns entirely under the bus, and that's where we'll start, is, of course, the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament, which the semifinals took place in the Phillips Center in Atlanta, Georgia, this past Sunday night. Roman defeated Alberto Del Rio in one semifinal, and Dean Ambrose took out Kevin Owens in the more entertaining semifinal between two absolute lunatics and hard workers in the ring. And I don't know how much of it is, you know, Seth Rollins being on the shelf, Brock Lesnar being a part-timer, or anything, or Sheamus being in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie. But, oh yeah, spoiler alert, if you didn't watch Survivor Series last night and you don't know what's going on, you might want to cut off the podcast now. But if you did, you know, stick around, because we're just talking about it. But I don't know if it's Sheamus being in the Ninja Turtle movie or what, but Roman Reigns, you know, I don't know if they believe in him enough. I don't know if they believe in him enough to put the strap on him without conditions, because him beating Dean Ambrose that quickly and then being served up on a platter for Sheamus in the Money in the Bank cash-in was just, I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't sit, you know, well with me. And Chris McManus, Rappers Are Actors on Twitter, posted a Medium post that he actually wrote 6 months ago that Roman Reigns could be this generation's Lex Luger, and that is not a compliment if you know anything about the wrestling profession, is that Luger was a very talented individual, you know, muscular, good-looking, you know, had charisma, but just never really came across as a convincing champion anywhere. Not WCW, not the WWF either. Is Roman Reigns headed down that path? I sure hope not. Because the kid came in with one of the, you know, I think they all kind of sort of had, you know, a lot of, you know, hoopla surrounding them. Reigns was definitely, you know, thought of as like, you know, the bigger prospect when the Shield debuted all the, those couple years ago, when it was Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. And the thing that struck me about the Shield, from my perspective, was that Ambrose was the leader. I mean, Seth Rollins, you know, called himself the architect when he turned on them and joined the Authority. But for me, it felt like Ambrose was more the leader than anybody else. But Roman Reigns was always the strong, silent type. And I think that's where he kind of sort of steps out of his element, is when he starts talking. And that is a horrible thing to witness for a guy with so much potential that his mic skills are not up to par yet. And it's not like, you know, it's going to be the death sentence for Roman Reigns. I mean, the guy's only 28 years old. I don't think he's going to, you know, be, you know, a absolute washout, but he needs some time. I think the reason they're pushing Roman so hard is because, number one, we're sick of John Cena, and everybody knows it. Brock Lesnar has no interest in being a full-timer, you know, and everybody else gets the short end of the stick because they're not big, muscular, handsome like Roman Reigns. Like, Rollins got by because he was a character. Like, he was, I mean, he's a talent inside the ring, don't get it twisted, but he was good on the mic, and he could play a convincing jerk. Nobody knows what Roman's lane is. Can he be a Rock type, like his big cousin, The Rock? Can he be that cocky, arrogant heel that can spout off catchphrases and different things like that? Or can he be a killing machine like Brock Lesnar? Nobody knows. And it sucks for him because, I mean, I'm one of the people in the minority that, you know, thinks Roman Reigns can get it done in the ring. I am. But it just seems like, you know, WWE is just trying to either hold him off or just, you know, give him more time to develop. And they're in a desperate place right now because, of course, Rollins is out for the rest of 2015 and most of 2016. You know, they don't think a guy like Dolph Ziggler could be a viable champion. A guy who I would have liked to see with the strap, Cesaro, just had shoulder surgery. He's out for 6 months. So it's pretty much Roman Reigns or bust at this point. And that sucks for him, and it sucks for the E, because nobody really knows what to do with this guy yet. And you look at his package. I mean, he played college football. He played at Georgia Tech. He's related to The Rock, like legitimate bloodlines. Like, The Rock and him are legitimately cousins. He's a big, strong guy with a chiseled face. He's deep voice. I mean, he would appeal to the women and appeal to the fellas too. You know, just from the brutality standpoint. And it's just, it's not working right now. It's not working. And I don't know what they would have to do for it to work. But it's definitely something that Triple H and those folks in creative are definitely going to have a powwow about. because as we get closer to WrestleMania, you don't want the biggest event to be the biggest washout, especially when you're in the when you're in Jerry World, AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas. You've got to sell out about 150,000 tickets. So you've got to make this count, and you've got to make it palatable. How you do that with Roman Reigns remains to be seen. Other part of Survivor Series I found interesting was the 25th anniversary celebration of the debut of The Undertaker. Taker and Kane formed the Brothers of Destruction, reformed Brothers of Destruction, and took out Bray Wyatt and Rowan. Damn it! Why do I keep calling this man Rowan Harper? Luke Harper took out Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper, and Taker went out, you know, the same way he came in at Survivor Series 1990 with a tombstone piledriver. The first trivia question. Well, trivia answer, you know, a little knowledge. The first person ever to get a tombstone on television, pay-per-view or otherwise, was Coco Beware, one of my personal favorites as a kid. But The Undertaker, it's good to see him get a victory lap. Like, I know people are upset because they want Bray Wyatt to be built up as the next Undertaker, and I'm in that camp. But you've got to show appreciation for the man before he bows out. Because everyone knows that The Undertaker changed the WWF and eventually the WWE forever. I mean, there have been bigger stars, obviously. Stone Cold, The Rock, Shawn Michaels had a nice run. Triple H has definitely, you know, proven himself to be a lifer and an indispensable asset to the company. But The Undertaker bridged that gap between the rock and wrestling era and the Attitude era so perfectly. Because no one had ever seen anything like this guy. 6'10", 300 pounds, and he was a corpse. A living, walking corpse that beat the hell out of everybody. Then when the Attitude Era evolved, so did he. He started getting more agile in the ring. He started doing suicide dives outside of the ring. He would step out of character every so often. He would become like a cult leader, and then he would be one of my personal favorites. And then everybody else hates it, but I loved it when he was like Big Evil. The American Badass. Then he went back to, you know, the Dead Man for his final run these past 10 years or more. And just give him his props. That's why I don't mind, you know. I mean, people feel like, you know, Bray Wyatt should go over or an Undertaker. He will eventually, at some point. I got to think it's the Royal Rumble. Because I don't think they're going to have Taker lose at WrestleMania in Texas when they could possibly induct him in the Hall of Fame in the same weekend and say goodbye to him with a 23-1 WrestleMania record. I just don't see him taking an L in Texas at WrestleMania on a potentially major, major weekend. That's just something I don't see happening. But, I mean, One thing I can agree with everyone on and that we're all in agreement with is that WWE has seriously mishandled Bray Wyatt. Like, when this guy first came up, he had the promos going, he had the hoopla, he had everything with him, and then they just kept putting him in dumb situations. Like, they had him losing to John Cena in the Last Man Standing match where Cena AAs him into a, I don't know if it was like a box or something, and then shoves the box on top of him like Bray can't get out the damn box. Like, that was stupid. Like, they've had him saddled with Roman Reigns when it really doesn't make any sense for Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns to be beefing. It didn't make any sense. None of it made any sense. But now from this point forward, okay, we've got it. The Undertaker and Kane have proven that they really are the true, you know, army of darkness. We get it. They're the OGs of this. They invented it. They invented the lightning. They invented the fire. They invented, you know, the supernatural. And nobody's done it better. But now it's time to see what Bray Wyatt can do with that. Because Bray has all the elements. He's a beast in the ring, and he definitely has an aura about him. You know, that aura of darkness that The Undertaker wants, that he's just a little more verbal with it because he's better on the mic. Like, I think the highest compliment paid to Bray Wyatt came in a tweet from Jake the Snake Roberts. Because I remember Jake tweeting when Bray first started getting hot, he was like, "Your promo style reminds me of somebody really familiar. Keep up the good work." I was like, yo, that's the biggest cosign you could get, in my opinion. Because I was a huge Jake the Snake Roberts fan growing up. And as, you know, I started to get more into studying wrestling history, like, Jake really became one of my favorites because he used to do a little bit of everything on the mic. Like, either when he was that loner face or a demonic heel, Jake could get his point across so well. And that's what I think Bray Wyatt does. You know, I think that's his calling card. So, yes, I would like to see Bray get a bigger push. I don't know if it's championship push, but I want to see him, you know, making people's lives a living hell. I want to see him scaring people the way Jake the Snake Roberts once did with the Cobra, the way the Undertaker when the Undertaker stuffed the Ultimate Warrior in a casket on the funeral parlor, that kind of stuff. It makes more sense now. You have this guy who has this, you know, this gimmick, this character that works. It just works. I mean, when we talk about Roman Reigns, you know, trying to force a square peg into a round hole, Bray Wyatt is the round hole, is the round peg for the round hole. It all works. He's got his henchmen to do his bidding, his family, and it's a huge family. Braun Strowman, a strongman competitor, 6'9", 400 pounds. Eric Rowan, a absolute weirdo, 6'8", 330. Luke Harper, who reminds me so much of the late great Bruiser Brody, it doesn't make any sense, 6'7", 275. And they all believe in this man's mission. And then, of course, you have Bray himself. I mean, the guy is a third-generation wrestler. I mean, his pops is, you know, a wrestling, you know, guy that people know, Mike Rotunda. You know, known better as Irwin R. Scheister, IRS, or if you go back to his WCW days, Captain Mike Rotunda. His uncle is Barry Windham, you know, who had a nice run, you know, in WCW and WWE as the Stalker, the Widowmaker, or just playing Barry Windham in WCW. And Bray knows the ring. And then, of course, he has this brilliant character where he's like this cult leader, not like the Undertaker's Ministry of Darkness, where they're just like, you know, with devil worshippers. Like, this guy sort of has like a Jim Jones, Jimmy Swagger type quality to him, but with a different, you know, vigor and enthusiasm for himself. Like Bray knows that people are following him, and he revels in that. So I'd like to see Bray Wyatt pushed a little more, pretty much. What else can we talk about from Survivor Series? The New Day, yes. One thing about the New Day last night that made them great was that they had Sheamus and Wade Barrett looking really, really dumb last night. Well, not Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett was, you know, a little more fun, but I mean, this is why I don't understand why they had Roman lose to Sheamus. Like, you had a guy who just 2 hours before was hanging out with the New Day talking about, "We're going to get jiggy on these posers." Like, that's the guy you want carrying a strap? No way Roman can be that freaking bad on the mic. No way. But the New Day just keeps getting better and better with the promos. Now, they were making fun of Atlanta Falcons. They were making fun of Atlanta fans that only have one professional sports championship, and of course the New Day have tag team belts, so that counts as two. But Xavier Woods stole the show once again, not with the trombone, not with his, you know, Muhammad Ali type rap on the microphone, but with his hair. Just Google Xavier Woods Survivor Series hair and tell me he don't look like a dark-skinned Little Richard. One of the funniest things about last night, probably the funniest thing about last night, is Xavier Woods unveiling that new hairstyle. Like, I don't know, you know, convert him to, you know, get the Papa, get the little Richard Pompadour look like he was, you know, in the Five Heartbeats, or, you know, it's Frankie Lyman in the Teenagers. But it was awesome. That was one of the best things about it last night, was not the Undertaker and Kane versus the Wyatt family, not Sheamus beating Roman Reigns, not Charlotte versus Paige, which was an absolute disappointment, but Xavier Woods' hair. Absolutely classic. Absolutely classic. Raw tonight is going to be interesting because we're going to find out why Sheamus cashed in, even though it was probably predestined that he was going to cash in at Survivor Series. We'll find out why. We'll see what happens from the fallout from Brothers of Destruction versus the Wyatt family, and what happens with the New Day and the tag team title situation, because I'm afraid they're going stale because they haven't really had a tag team, you know, challenge for them for the belts since the Dudley Boys a couple months ago. So that should be an interesting Raw to watch tonight. Finally, the Golden State Warriors. 15-0 now, matching the record of the 1949-50 Washington Capitals and the 1993-94 Houston Rockets for the best start in NBA history. 15-0. Now, I'm looking for a loss. I'm looking for a loss on this schedule. Let's see what we have here. Tomorrow, they host the L.A. Lakers in a bid for 16-0. They're at Phoenix on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Then they host Sacramento on Saturday. And then they have Utah. They have the Utah Jazz. So that's their immediate schedule. Let me see if I can pull up a more, you know, relevant schedule, because I just went to the Google and just typed in Golden State Warriors before the show started because I didn't have a lot of time, because I was trying to make sure that, you know, I had a quiet studio environment as I was working. This is what happens when, you know, you have family members out of school because the school districts are wilding out and you got to be the, you know, the babysitter, so to speak. But, yeah. Anyway, so let's see. L.A. on Tuesday. Lakers on Tuesday. Should be a win. Friday at Phoenix. Should be a win. Kings will probably give them a tougher battle than anyone will give them credit for, but that should be a win for Golden State. Utah should be a win. At Charlotte. At Toronto. At Brooklyn. At Indianapolis, at Boston, at Milwaukee, back home against Phoenix, and hosting Milwaukee and Utah. Then, of course, Christmas Day. That's the one we're waiting on. That's the granddaddy. Christmas Day, ABC, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Will LeBron get his revenge? But before that game, let's see. Let's count that off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12, 13. So the Warriors could very well be 29-0 before they visit the Cavaliers. No, before the Cavaliers visit on Christmas Day. That'll be interesting. I don't know if they'll really go 29-0, but it's possible that this win streak could go very well to Christmas, and if they get past Cleveland, they could finish 2015 undefeated, which would be absolutely bananas. But they just seem to get it done. I mean, their coach Steve Kerr, he's hurt, so Luke Walton is, you know, pretty much, you know, presiding over. And don't be surprised if Luke Walton gets a head coaching job out of this. Sorry to say it, but that's the truth. Watch it happen. And they're doing it once again with that small lineup of Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Andre Iguodala, and Draymond Green. Like, there's nobody in that lineup over 6'7". Yet and still, they're kicking everybody's ass with it. It's crazy. Like, the Golden State Warriors have really created a new way to play basketball just by putting literally their best five players out on the floor, regardless of height. because Steph is a listed 6'3". Let's get that straight. Then, of course, you have Thompson, Barnes, and Green, who are 6'7", and Andre Iguodala, who's probably closer to 6'7", than he gets credit for. So, you know, they just, I mean, they make their shots, they move the ball really well, they're aggressive on defense. They have the rebounding with Bogut and Festus Ezeli, so it's not like, you know, they're just a small ball club all the way through and through. They got a couple guys who can grab some boards for them. So, I still don't want to say they'll repeat, but they're going to be fun all the way through June, I think. I think they make the finals. I do think they make the finals. But, you know, I think LeBron, you know, and his boys are going to get revenge, but we'll see. We'll definitely see. But right now, tomorrow night we'll probably be talking about how the Warriors go 16-0, and after that, how they'll probably be unbeaten by the time Cleveland gets to Oakland on Christmas Day. Should be fun. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time, as always. If you miss us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Tuesday, we'll wrap up Week 11 in the NFL and talk about whatever's clever. So, till then, y'all be good or be good at it.